Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 4, and I'll have the Word of God right up here on the screen. I've entitled this morning's message, Our Treasured Fathers. Our Treasured Fathers. And God gave me this title is because fathers are a treasure given to the families by God. Can I get amen? Throughout the Word of God, the man is described as a priest of the home, as a leader, someone that walks with integrity, honesty, purity. A father loves his children unconditionally. A father loves his wife unconditionally. A man who God raises up as a godly man will be mindful to honor the King, Jesus, first. And as he's honoring and learning how to honor God, guess what? It'll trickle down. It'll trickle down in his entire being. And he will learn how to honor everything else around his life. And so, we're going to touch just a little bit this morning on the life of King David. Because King David, even though he was not a perfect man. How many believe that King David was not a perfect man? He had faults and failures like you and I. There are no perfect people in this room. I hope you know that. I'm not perfect, and neither is anyone else in here. But we are striving for perfection. With all of our shortcomings, with all of our fears and failures, because we will fail one time or another. But I'm here to let you know that the God of heaven, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that'll strengthen you, that'll build you up. So let's go to the Word of God and let's read this. And it says, Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And so, as he was saying goodbye to the world, he charged his son, Solomon, to be a good man. Verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and whatever or whenever you turn. In other words, if you follow the ways of God, if you honor the King, if you honor God, there are benefits and blessings that God does in your life to strengthen you, to fortify you, to build you, to carry you through hard times. Because in the culture that we live in today, we see in the world today, it's very dark now, and hard times are coming. Hard times are coming. Before the summer's over, it's going to be $10 a gallon. Three steaks will cost you now $150. And so, this is a time that we need to take heed in the times that we live in. Because never before have we seen something like this. We've seen recessions in the past, but we've never seen a dramatic change within a year's time as fast as it has changed now. So now, he goes on to say in verse 4, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Wow, that's the key. That was the key. You see, David was now passing the mantle to his son Solomon. And he said, and your sons who honor God will be blessed. But we know throughout this whole entire lineage, there were some that disobeyed. There were some that God had to chastise. But in this story, it's all about imparting the blessing from father to son. And I'm here to let you know that we have a heavenly Father that has imparted upon us a plan for your life, for my life. And I'm so very thankful. Last night I got to share my testimony in Ramona. Leah and Brother Andre invited me to a little church in Ramona, and I was so blessed to be there. I brought them a word of encouragement, but I shared my testimony. I shared what God had done for me. And as we left the place, this one young lady came out and said, thank you. I'm so glad you came, because God wants me to come back to him. And so we prayed with her. Keep her in prayer. Her name is Michelle. And so, saints, the final words of a father to a son are profoundly significant, especially when a transfer of divine purpose and responsibility is involved. It's very important. King David had some advice for his son Solomon as he lay there dying his last breath. And when the time drew, he charged his son Solomon to be spiritually strong, obedient, and faithful. And this advice still resonates thousands of years later. And it pertains to our generation today in the year 2022. And so I got a couple of news clips I want you to see up here. Number one, Abigail Van Buren wrote, if you want your children to keep their feet on the ground, put some responsibility on their shoulders. Responsibility isn't a curse, it's a blessing. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Get them involved. For those of you fathers who have a trade, teach them your trade. But teach them. They need to see. They need to see someone in action that's doing something productive in their life so that you could pass it on. One of the things that I see my brother, Brother Lafayette, since Jordan was a child, he nurtured him, always took him to the ball games. He was always there watching him develop. And now his son has developed into that dream. It became a reality. And now he's going to go on to the next level. Why? Because he put some time in him. When you sow your time with your children, there's going to be great positive results. But you got to sow into their lives. Look at this. Booker T. Washington said, few things help an individual more than to place responsibility upon him and to let him know that you trust in him. Trust your children. You have given them responsibilities. Trust that they will do it. Trust that they will become that man of God, that woman of God. And so, saints, to become a man means you're willing to take responsibility of how you live your life. Irresponsible people usually run away, and they make excuses, and they learn to blame others. And those who do run away never learn to become men or women of integrity and proven character. Nor do they know the joy of the Lord or inherit the promises that he gives to those who are faithful. In order to know God's faithfulness, it starts with us being faithful to God. Can I get an amen? Learn to be faithful to God. Learn to be faithful in the little that he has given us so that he can use you in mighty ways. You see, my friends, David, he determined not to run away from very tough difficulties and even sins that he committed. But he faced them, and thus he learned what it took to become a real man. And so my question is this morning, do we men still need such advice today? Or do we have it all together? You know, I've come across a few men in life. I won't say their names up here. You start sharing something. Oh, yeah, I know already. Oh, yeah, okay. And yet, they have closed ears. And they don't want to learn instruction. You see, my friends, fathers are too significant not to learn to become real men. Here are some startling statistics. I want you to see something before I start building you up as men, because it's Father's Day. I need you to see what's happening in our culture right now. Not 10 years ago, not 15 years ago, not 30 years ago, but in 2022. Look at this right here. 43% of U.S. children live without their father. That's a U.S. Department of Census. 43% across the nation. Papa's not home. And it takes a toll. It takes a strain on that mother because she's doing her best. Because the woman is the heart of the home. But the father is the priest of the home. Look at this. 63% of teen suicides are from fatherless homes. That's 5 times the national average. And I pulled that from the U.S. Department of Health, Bureau of Census. This is now. Look at this. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. You see, when the father's in the home, the daughter needs to be in love with her father so that he can trust her father and the father can guide that child to do the right thing. And she will learn that she will not let no other man come into her life but the husband that God will bring her, because the father will have instilled that in her. 90%, look at this, of all runaways and homeless children are from fatherless homes. That's 32 times the national average. And I found this in the U.S. DHHS Bureau of Census. These are true statistics that are taking place in our nation. Look what we saw during this transition of power. We saw chaos in the streets, cities burning. And right now as we speak, the average murder rate right now is about 150 men in cities dying every week by gunshot, being blasted in gang violence. But they won't report that. But it's happening. Look at this. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 14 times the national average. And this, I found this through the Criminal Justice, and that was reported in 1978. Just imagine now. You think things got better now? Oh, no. Look at this. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes, 20 times the national average. Wow. My goodness. 85%. I think I passed one. Let's see. 80, yeah. One more. Here we go. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. You know why? Because the mother is the heart of the home, and the father needs to be the disciplinary one to bring that loving chastisement when we need it. And I'm not talking getting whipped with the belt, but a stern talk. Listen, a stern talk from a man goes a long way. Because it shows authority. And you all know that when you were growing up, when Papa had to bring a hard word, where did you run to? Mama. Come here. Well, listen to your father, okay? Oh, that's right. Look at this. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes, 10 times the national average. Wow. Wow. Look at this. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes, 20 times the national average. This is the country that we live in. This is not a third world country. We're supposed to be the city on a hill. We're supposed to be the light on the hill. And yet, we're seeing this darkness upon the land. Look at this one. Daughters of single parents without a father involved are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers. 711% more likely to have children as teenagers, 164% more likely to have premarital birth, and 92% more likely to get divorced themselves. It's happening. This is why men become men and be the man of God that God's called you. Look at this. 85% of youths in prisons grew up in a fatherless home. And that came from the Texas Department of Corrections in 2021. And so, what does the Word say about this? How does God address us as men? Because us men need to be addressed by God. Can I get an amen? Our wives can sow into our lives, and yes, and we should receive everything they have to say. But ultimately, we need our Father in heaven to speak to us men so that we can learn instruction. And that when we fail, it's not that we fail God, but sometimes we fail ourselves. But there's hope in God. And when we turn to Him with all of our failures, He's the one that will strengthen us. He will restore us. He will lift us up. He will make us the man who He has intended for you and I to be. But look what Proverbs says right up here. Oh, one last one right here. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. How many of you know youngsters, either in high school or college age, that need help? They need help. So, Proverbs, here we go. Look at this. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. That's for us, saints of God. What do you imagine our Heavenly Father does each day? I'll tell you what He does. He intercedes for us 24/7. The Bible says that Jesus intercedes for us 24/7. And why does He intercede for us? Because He wants us to be nurtured by Him. Did you know that God nurtures us through His Word and through His Spirit? And what does nurture mean? I found it right up here in Webster's Dictionary. It's defined as, it means to supply with nourishment, to educate, or to further the development of. That's what nurturing means. Scripture reveals a God who is a tender parent. God is a tender parent, gently nudging us toward maturity in Christ. And we're going to look at some ways that He does this. And it's only found through the Word of God. I can say anything up here and try to give you a motivational message, but I'd rather have God speak through His Scripture. Amen? Because the Word of God is able to go down into the bone and marrow. My words are shallow, but the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Number one, our Heavenly Father nurtures us by comforting us when we are troubled. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that when we are troubled, He comes by and He nurtures us? Look what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all what? Comfort. Who comforts us in our tribulation. How many of you have experienced tribulation? Oh, come on. I think a lot of us have, haven't we? That we're able, what, to comfort those who are in any trouble. So God wants to do what? He wants to do one thing with us. As He comforts us and we learn the comfort when we fail, when we fall short. Once He rises within us and He raises us up and restores us, we're able to comfort others. It's not for you, it's for others. God needs us to comfort others. Can I get amen? Look at this. Those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Thank you, God. Number two, look at that. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast. Man, I've been down in the dumps several times, head hung low, and God will come alongside. You can do it, son. I'm with you. As long as you honor me, I will see you through. Look at this. Our Heavenly Father nurtures us through His tender care. Praise God. Saints, often we think the Lord as having the qualities of a good father. Did you know He also takes care of us, even like a tender mother? Oh, that's right. Look what Isaiah said. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Look at this. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God nurtures us. He doesn't forget us. Even when things look like they're falling apart in your life, how many of you can look back and saw things unraveling in your life? Oh, yes. And yet God's right there, stitching it back up. Because He loves us. Look what James wrote. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very what? Compassionate and what? Merciful. God is merciful. You see, why does James mention Job? Job was thousands of years before the apostles arrived. But why did he mention Job? Job was the Bill Gates of the day. He had everything. He was a multi-billionaire. He owned the land, the cattle. He had a lot of wealth and prosperity. And Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, went up to heaven and said, the reason why your boy down here, Job, is blessed is because you put a hedge around him. And I bet if you remove the hedge, he will curse you to your face. And so what did God say in the book of Job? He says, go ahead, but just don't take his life. So the devil went down and caused havoc with Job. This is a true story. Go back and read the book of Job. And Job lost his children in a storm. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. And then Satan touched his physical body, lets you know that he can even touch that. And there were these boils that were all pussy all over. He was the most hideous sight to see. And then three of his friends came and tried to say, well, I think you've sinned. Well, I think you've done this. And I think you've done that. Watch out for sometimes the advice you get. Because God may be allowing you to go through something so that he could raise you back up and fine-tune you. Can I get amen? And so, after all that was taking place with Job, his own wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, she didn't mean it in a facetious way. She didn't mean it as a derogatory way, because she wanted God to end his life because he was suffering. And the only way you could have God end your life back then was to curse him. She didn't do it like, man, just curse God and die. No, she wanted God to put him out of his misery because he was suffering. And what did he say? He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the end of that story says, when he started praying for his friends, God blessed him with tenfold, gave him more children, gave him more than all he ever had. And God restored his life, his health. Why? Because he never cursed God. Listen, that's a story for us. Whatever God is allowing you to go through, can I get an amen? Amen. You keep on praising him. Keep on glorifying him. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. You're doing something in my life. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that whatever I'm doing wrong, I know that you're going to make it right. Oh, God, my heart needs to be molded and fashioned by you, oh God. Lord, I need you to do that work in me. Oh God, I have failed me, I have failed others, but God, I want you to raise me up. Can I get amen? God, I want you to use me. God, I want you, hallelujah, to be glorified in my life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You see, when you flip the switch on your own heart and say, you know what, it's not about woe is me, it's about look who God is in my life. Can I get amen? When you don't have a penny in your pocket, when your friends forsake you, can I get amen? When your spouse walks out on you, come on. When your children walk out on you, nevertheless, I'm not going to curse God, I'm going to bless God. Can I get amen? I will bless them with all my heart. Bless the Lord all my soul. And never forget his benefits. Jesus, thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. Come on, come on. Give God a shout of praise. There's always hope in God. There's always hope in him. Can I get amen? Look at this. Our Heavenly Father nurtures us by providing for our needs. Did you know that God provides all your needs? A lot of times, we don't know when the next dollar is coming. For me, as a realtor, it's commission only. And so sometimes I say, okay, God, I don't have a punch card to punch in at 6 in the morning, Monday through Friday. So I'm walking in faith. I'm saying, oh, God, I'm trusting you, God, right? Amen? But listen, when your trust is fully in Christ, no matter what you're going through, he reminds us through the Word of God. Look what it's found here in Matthew. Look at this. In Matthew 6:25, this is the words of Jesus. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He asked this rhetorical question, isn't it? Look at this. And number 26. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor they reap. In other words, these birds, they don't plant. They don't garden. But look what God says about them. He says, neither they sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So let me just say this. I'm about 5'7", and I used to always like, I'm 5'7 and a half. I can't add another inch to my stature. That's who God made me. So what is God saying here? Which of you are worrying can add a cubit to his stature? The way God made you is the way he has a plan for you, even at 5'7". Yes, I would love to be 6'3 like Jordan, but he didn't make me that way. But he made Jordan that way so that he can do what he's called him to do. Look at this. He goes on to say, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither they toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed with any of these. God has done this all. So look at this in verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Why do we worry? Because Paul said it best. Paul said it best in the book of Philippians. Look at this. And my God shall supply what? All of your need according to his what? Riches and glory. Listen, I got to ask this question. I know sometimes it might be a dumb question. But I don't think none of us here has been deprived of any food, have we? Have we been deprived of any food? Matter of fact, the last couple of nights, we were gluttons. Thursday night and Friday night, it was like, I haven't seen so much food like that. But he supplies all of our needs, amen? Listen, you are here because when you were thrust out of your mother's womb, God was already caring for you. Number one, he developed you in the womb. He was caring for you inside the womb. And then your mom and your father came alongside, using them to take care of you. This is why we should always honor our mother and father. Can I get an amen? Love them to death. Never come against your mom and dad, because there are scriptures that says that God will end your life short. Honor your mom and dad. I don't care if they were mean. So what? Still love them. As a believer now, you can love them and turn your heart. Say, you know what? It's okay. I still love them because they still fed me and clothed me and took care of me. They put a cold cloth on my head when I had a fever. They took me to the doctors. They didn't starve me and beat me. They loved me. And so, my friends, number four, our Heavenly Father nurtures us through encouragement. That's what God wants to do, is daily encourage you. Unlike some authority figures, God never tries to motivate us through shame or criticism or continual acceptance. Instead, he directs our attention to those who are in Christ, our positive traits and abilities, and our unique role in his plan. He will do it all for us if we just surrender to him. And so Paul wrote this in Romans. Look at this. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. That's where our hope lies, in the word. Can I get an amen? And I know this one is a little tough one, but it was good for me. And I know it's good for you, but look at this. Our Heavenly Father nurtures us through loving discipline. Listen, if we never speak discipline in someone's life, they're never going to know whether they've done anything wrong or right. But after the discipline has been ministered, now you come alongside and restore that one. Can I get amen? I think you say this in Spanish some way, when you give someone a nalgada. Huh? Okay, so in English, is when you take the Board of Education to the seat of his understanding. Okay? We need it every now and then, don't we? But it's for our good. It's to teach us valuable lessons so that we can take a step back and we can examine the error of our way and then say, God, help me now. And when you surrender to God, then he starts doing the miraculous. He starts to restore. He starts to reconcile. He starts to heal. And that's when people will truly want to be around you, because they see the love of God being manifested in your life. Or do you walk around looking like you drank some prune juice or a saladito? No, there should be some joy on your face. Can I get amen? If God is at work in your life, there should be some joy. Joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Down in your heart. Come on. That's right. You see, one final way God parents us is by correcting us when we are deliberately sinning. When we just deliberately sin. He may allow us to experience hardship, failure, or disappointment. Or he may simply allow us to get caught. I like to say it like this. Oops, I'm pulling your cover now. Look. He's done that to me so many times. And I learned every time not to do that again. You ever told a little child, don't touch that stove? But why? But why? And then they don't learn their lesson. And so they get to that stove. They get blistered up and they're screaming their head, I told you not to touch the stove. But we find ourselves sometimes in situations like that, huh? Even as adults. Look at this in Hebrews. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look at this. Why? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so he goes on to further exhort us, for consider him who endured such hostility. Jesus endured the punishment of death for you and I. Look at this. Such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. What is God saying here? None of us have gone through that kind of punishment. And yet, we learn sometimes to disobey God. Look at this right here. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That means don't despise when God has to correct you. The chastening of the Lord. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges the son whom he receives. Listen. If you weren't loved by God and if you were not a child of God, he wouldn't give you a day or hour and you would just run your course and perish in this life. But as a child of God, and when we get out of line, he corrects us. Why? Because he loves us. He wants your life to count. He wants your life to be used by him. So that we would be what? A light on top of a hill. Praise God. Praise God. And he nurtures us. Look at this. He nurtures us. Our Heavenly Father nurtures us through what? Personal instruction. But let me go back to the last part of that Hebrew word. It's right here. If you endure, now, here's the key. If you endure the chastity, meaning if you endure God's correction in your life, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? In other words, all of us, every now and then, he takes us to the whooping shed. And I don't like to be in the whooping shed. When he puts me in there, man, I want to get out of that whooping shed. Look at this. But if you are without chastity, in other words, if you are without correction from him, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Guess what the King James Version, who has a King James Bible? You got it? What does illegitimate means in your word? In the regular King James, it says, then you are bastards. Meaning you're fatherless, and I don't want nothing to do with you. But because we're his, we are legitimate. We're not illegitimate. Praise God. So that's why I put it in the New King James. It's a little softer. Because people take that word out of context anyway, and they use it as a curse word. And so, our Heavenly Father nurtures us through personal instruction. Look at this. But the Helper, who's the Helper? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And what did God teach the Thessalonians? What did he teach them? Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We're taught by God. And if God is teaching us how to love, then guess what? We need to learn how to love one another. Can I get amen? And listen, when someone takes a fall in life, when someone is chastised by God, you need to come alongside and encourage that brother or sister. Can I get amen? You don't leave them hanging. You say, you know what? God's going to do a mighty work in your life. Be encouraged. Stay encouraged. It's good for you because he would have done the same to me. But now you come alongside and you start building their life. Can I get amen? You start teaching them the love of God. They need people that have been chastised by God. They need to see the love of God, and that's what a father does. Hallelujah. Bishop Trout posted up last night before I went to bed. He posted up his father, Raymond Trout. That's the ministry I got saved under. And I commented, I said, this is a tremendous man of God. Well over 30 years ago, he prayed for me, and an impartation of divine order came upon my life at that altar. And I've never been the same since. But one of the stories that he shared, and I'll share it quickly and then we'll close. He said that when he was about 9 years old, it was Bishop Raymond Trout who shared this. He was always about 9 years old. And he said that I would always get in trouble with my mom. And his mom would get fat up with him. And so she would take a switch. You know what a switch is? It's like this long and it's made out of a fishing pole. And so, you know, it had that wobble to it, that boing, boing to it. And she would take that switch, and he got out of line. She would come with full force and hit that leg. And every time, she would nip him right in the back of the calf because he would run from her. But she would still catch it. And he said, man, there would be a welt on his leg. But he figured out something quickly. He said, I'm not going to run from her. I'm going to run to her. So he stopped running away, and every time he got in trouble, he would run to her leg and hold on to her leg and would start crying. No, Bob, no. And so she would take that, and there was no more thrust, because the thrust is like this. Wow! There was no thrust, and as he was crying and pleading and say, I'm sorry, Mommy, I'm sorry, Mom, she would then drop the switch, and she would pick him up. And then she would restore him. She would minister to him. She would tell him, this is why I got angry with you. This is why you can't do this no more. This is why I brought the switch. And so he started learning early that if I just behave myself, she wouldn't even think about the switch anymore. And the moral to the story that he shared was that he learned at an early age, he learned how to honor her, he learned how to honor his father, and eventually he ended up getting saved and became a tremendous man of God who founded many churches here in Atlanta, and also I believe it's in Illinois. And so, God is the one who takes care of you and I. And so I'm going to close with this right up here. Look at this right up here. A father's love. A father is respected because he gives his children leadership. A father's love is appreciated because he gives his children care. A father's love is valued because he gives his children time. Sow into their life. As I shared about Brother Lafayette, he sowed into his son's life. A father's love is love because he gives his children the one thing they treasure most, himself. Give yourself to your children, fathers. Spend time with them. Go to their ball games. When your wives want to go to church, go with them. But for an hour? You know that will go a million miles in your life. When, Father, will you just bend your knee and honor your wife and honor your children? Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for this day. For truly, it is Father's Day. Lord, I'm asking, God, right now. Maybe you're watching on Facebook and YouTube. And maybe there's families that are watching that have a fatherless home. I'm praying for restoration. I'm praying, God, fill that need with your love. Help them go through what they're going through, God. We live in difficult times. It's no longer Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver no more. There's a lot of nonsense going on in this world. But yet, we have you, God. And we have each other. And Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can draw. We can draw close to you in troubling times like this. We pray for this nation. We pray for our states, our cities, but we pray for our families. And God, help us with our families. Help the fathers right now that are still in the home. And even the ones that have left, help them, God. We don't cast them out. We just say, God, help them. Help all the men right now on this Father's Day, oh God. that when it's all said and done, that their lives would learn to give you praise, glory, and honor. Listen, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, it starts with you. And so we're going to give you that opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here and those who are watching online to pray for those right now who are watching and maybe never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is take a step of faith and ask God to come into your life, to do a miracle in your life, that your life does count and He does have a plan. You may not see it right now, but He has a mighty plan. He had a plan for me all laid out. I had no clue until He drew me to the cross. And He gave me eyes to see and ears to hear. And if that's you right now, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head and to pray this simple prayer by faith and trust God that God's going to do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is He worthy? Come on, is He worthy? Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.